Just when I think time couldn't go any faster, the pace picks up. It won't be long now and we'll be thinking about raking leaves and putting on a jacket before we go outside. And on top of that, right now we are less than 4 weeks before the Feast of Trumpets and the beginning of God's fall holy days. It's a very exciting time, but the concerns of life can easily distract us as we approach the fall holy days. And if the cares of life do distract us, before we know it, the feast is upon us. What I consider to be one of my less desirable traits or habits is that I have a tendency to wait until the last minute to complete some tasks. One of the things that I've learned as a pastor is that you get a number of things thrown at you that you weren't expecting in a very short period of time. So sometimes as a pastor, you almost feel like you're juggling balls that are in the air, trying to get things done that need to be done, but somebody else is always tossing an extra ball in there while you're juggling things. But that's just the way life is sometimes. Life can throw you a lot of curveballs, a lot of things that you didn't expect. But you still have those number one priority issues that are there before you that need to be done, that need to be taken care of. The key is to maintain your focus when things come at you to distract you from the more important things in life. The key is to put first things first. We need to make sure that we put first things first and to be prepared. The importance of being prepared is stressed throughout the Bible. In fact, God is a God who is always prepared ahead of time. He doesn't get caught off guard. And he teaches us that we're to be prepared as a people as well. God the Father is always preparing the way before us. He has us on a journey. And from where we're at now to where he's taking us, he's preparing the way. He's there ahead of us. He's not behind us. He's not trying to catch up to us. He's ahead of us, working and preparing the way for us. Right now, God is preparing for the fall holy day season. It's rapidly approaching. He wants you and he wants me to have a wonderful time during the fall holy day season. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of worship. And God is preparing the place where we will go to celebrate and to worship him. The ministry is very busy now, preparing messages that will be given during the fall holy day season, especially during the coming feast, Feast of Tabernacles. God is guiding and directing the ministry through their studies, through our preparations, so that you can be spiritually nourished. It's certainly not to our glory. It's to God's glory. And he wants you to have a memorable experience during the fall holy day season that is rapidly approaching. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 23. I want to look at a few scriptures here at the beginning of the sermon that really bring out how much God is working for us, that he's preparing the way for us. Exodus 23, verse 20. It says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way." See, that talks about and paints the picture of God sending his servant, an angel, out before his people to prepare the way, to prepare the path that he has us on, and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. See, God is always in the mode of preparing for what's to come. And the fall holy days are right in front of us, and he is preparing the way before us. Following the command to observe the feast days, God tells us that he is looking out for us as we walk the path that he has set before us. Flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 12. This is kind of an amazing chapter here, Deuteronomy chapter 12. Because it shows how involved God is in his church and in our life and in him preparing the way before us. Let's start in verse 5. I don't want to get into the whole message of what's being talked about here. That's not really the point of my sermon right now. But I just want to bring out some of these verses that accent how much God is involved. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 12 says, "But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all of your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go." So he says, you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses. God is choosing the place before we get there. His hand is involved in that. Jump down to verse 11. It says, "Then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide." Again, another reference to God choosing the place where he places his name. Verse 14. "But in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes, there you shall offer the burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you." Again, a reference and a reiteration of God choosing the place, of his hand being involved. Verse 18. "But you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God chooses. You and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant." And it goes on. It's talking about God's hand being involved. Verse 21. "If the place where the Lord your God chooses to put your name is too far from you." Again, another reference to God and him choosing and preparing the way before us. Verse 24. "You shall not eat it." You shall. That's not the right verse. Well, we'll skip that one. But you see in chapter 12 that there are a number of references to God being involved, that he's choosing the place, that he's guiding and directing the path before us. And he makes it, and it comes clear in that statement, in the place where your Lord your God chooses. And there are other places in God's word that brings this out as well. But that shows preparation by God on our behalf. He chooses our place of worship. He chooses where we're to go. So how important is being prepared to God? How important is that aspect of life to God, to being prepared? I think if we're not a prepared people, we'll find that life becomes rather difficult. We find that we end up having conflicts a lot in our life if we're not properly prepared for the things that are in front of us. And when you're not properly prepared for something, you'll find that you don't get as much from it as if you were completely prepared. Even our youth, you guys are in school now. If you're not prepared for school, you're probably going to be frustrated with school. Same way with work. If your boss gives you a job and a task to do, and you're not prepared to meet the deadlines, you're going to have problems. There's going to be conflicts. It's important that we take the idea and the concept of being prepared very serious in our life. God is a prepared God. He's always working ahead of time to take care of the things that are out in front of him. Consider even the Sabbath day and all of the holy days or feast days. What comes before the Sabbath and the feast days? The preparation day. God even established the idea and the concept of being prepared to rest, being prepared to keep the Sabbath. Friday, before every weekly Sabbath, is the preparation day. God wants us to stop, to think about what's in front of us, which is the Sabbath, and to be prepared. He wants us to be prepared in every aspect of life. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 12, verse 35. This next point, I could turn to a bunch of different verses to make the point. I want to look at Luke chapter 12, verse 35, And notice Jesus Christ's comments. Luke 12, beginning in verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. That is a statement of basically saying, be prepared. Be ready to go. Keep watch. Don't be caught off guard. This concept of letting your waist be girded, I did a little bit of research through some of the commentaries, and they said that it was typical for a man to wear a long robe. And when he was relaxed or he was sitting around, the robe would be open and loose. But when it was time to get up and to go, they would always gird themselves or buckle it or fasten it about the waist, preparing for the trip. Jesus Christ is making a comment here in verse 35, let your waist be girded. In other words, be ready, be prepared, and your lamps burning, which also is a reflection to the parable about the 10 virgins and making sure that they had the oil that to continue on, to be ready to go, and their lamps burning. Verse 36, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. You see, that shows a state of readiness, when you're ready to open to him immediately. It doesn't mean say, oh, I didn't know you were coming. Hold on, I'll be there in a minute. We need to be ready when our master knocks, ready to go immediately. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. So blessed are his servants that are ready, that are prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. See, it's very important to God that we be a prepared people. Verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. But we don't know that, do we? We don't know the day or the hour when Jesus Christ will return. So we have to be ready, never letting up, never becoming slack. Therefore, verse 40, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Do we expect him today? Probably we fall into this category to some degree or another. It's easy to let down. It's easy to sit there in our human nature and think, well, Jesus Christ is way off. His return's way off. It's not going to happen today. And if we think that way, if we think that Jesus Christ's return is 20 years or 30 years or 40 years away, is that going to keep us on the edge of our seats, being prepared as a people? Probably not. Probably not, because human nature likes to take it easy, likes to relax. Jesus Christ is telling us to be ready. It's important to God and to Jesus Christ that we be a prepared people. As we approach the fall holy days, it is very important that we are prepared and ready for their arrival, because they're going to come whether we're ready or not. And there's been years in the past where I've allowed the events and the things in my life to dominate what I'm focused on, and then I'm not prepared for the feast the way I should be. I'm not ready for it. And then the next thing I know, I'm getting in the car to head off to the feast, and I'm not emotionally or physically or even spiritually ready for the feast. But that's not our situation today. We still have several weeks in front of us, and we have that time to properly prepare for the coming fall holy day season. So today I'd like to develop a plan for us to be fully prepared for the coming fall holy day season. And when they arrive, we will be ready and set to gain as much as possible from these coming fall holy day seasons. The title for my sermon today is Place the Fall Holy Days first. Place the fall holy days first. Really only have 2 points as we go through the sermon today. The first one is study and meditate on the fall holy days. Study and meditate on the fall holy days. We need to begin our preparations by searching the scriptures daily about God's teachings that are centered on the fall holy days. I would encourage you to begin reading some of the church's booklets on the fall holy days. I've put together a few examples here of what I had at our home. This is God's Holy Day Plan. It may be even included on the back table back there in the back. It'll guide you through all of the fall holy days, their meanings, their importance, and the scriptures that you can study and meditate on. Also, the Gospel of the Kingdom certainly focuses around the message of the Feast of Tabernacles. And also, this is the 12th lesson of the Bible study course that you can find online, or you can order it from the church. I don't know if you'd get it in the mail quick enough, but you can certainly download it from the website. And this talks exclusively about the God's festivals, and it's called The Keys to Humanity's Future. I also tried to find something on the church's website in regards to the youth as well for their study and instruction. And they actually have a website. If you go to Beyond Today, the Beyond Today website, and at the top you'll find a tab that says Bible Study Tools. There's also, you'll find the Bible Study, the Teen Bible Study Guides. And if you click on them, there'll be all sorts of Bible study guides. And the Holy Days is just one section of those. I printed out a copy of it. Each one of these is about 3 pages in length, so they're not very long. This one's on the Feast of Trumpets. There's one for the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Eighth Day. So those would be very helpful, and they're tailored for our teens and our youth. So I do have one set up here. If any of the teens want to take it, you're welcome to have it after services. But that can easily be downloaded and printed off as well. And probably if you just went to the church's Beyond Today website and just searched Teen Bible Study Volume 4, it's going to pop up on there. The other thing I found, if you're not into reading, some people love to read and can't get enough of reading. Other people are more visual and they like to watch the videos. The church has an extensive video series also that you can find on the Beyond Today website. If you go to the Beyond Today website, and again at the top, you'll find a tab that says Bible Study Tools. If you click on that, you can go down and you'll find a video series, and it's called Let Us Keep the Feasts. Let Us Keep the Feasts. And those are given by Steve Myers, and I think it's a series of Bible studies that he has given, I think down in Cincinnati is where he gave them. But so if you like to rather watch the videos, that's an option for you as well. But there's a lot of literature, a lot of material to read, and of course, we always have God's Word as well. We can get in there and we can study and learn more and more and more in depth about the coming Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles and the Eighth Day. God's Word is a wealth of information about the coming fall holy day seasons. So why is it so important that we study about the coming fall holy day season? Why is that so important? Well, number one, it allows us to be ready and prepared to give an answer. It allows us to be ready and prepared to give an answer. We're all preparing to take off of school, work, at least probably leave our homes for a period of time during the fall holy days, especially around the feast time. And that gives motivation to our friends and our coworkers and our classmates to ask, "What? You're going somewhere in October? Why are you doing that?" Most people don't vacation in October. They do that during the summer months. Some people do it in January just to get away from the snow and so forth. But most people don't vacation in October. So it has a way of motivating people to ask questions When they ask us questions, it's important to God that we give and be ready to give a proper and appropriate answer. It's important that we're ready to give that answer. If we're studying and we're filling our minds with God's word about the importance of the coming fall holy days and their meanings, we'll be ready. We'll have God's word and his truth in our mind. And when that opportunity to share our hope, to share God's plan with someone else, we'll be ready to do that. We'll be ready to give that answer. If you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. We're all very familiar with this verse, but it's good and important to refresh our memory on this. When others ask us why or what are you doing or where are you going, it's not time to give an answer of, oh, we're just taking a family vacation or our church is holding a convention. It's time to humbly and clearly explain God's truth. And it's important that we do it with that kind of motivation, with that kind of respect and fear of God, to do so in a very humble and clear way, explaining God's truth to others. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear." See, that sets the tone of how we're to answer people. It should set our tone of our motivation for answering people in meekness and in fear, knowing that God is in control, that it is He that does the calling. It's not us trying to convince someone else. We shouldn't approach them aggressively when they ask a question and say, "Yeah, I'm going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and you should be too." That's not the right approach. We need to humbly and meekly go and give an answer for the hope that is within us. The second reason why this is so important that we study for the coming fall holy day season is because it keeps God's truth in our heart. It keeps God's truth in our heart. It's easy for us to develop a process in our minds that says, "Oh, I've done this for decades. I know all there is to learn about the fall holy days. I've done this time and time and time again." And we probably have. A lot of us have been doing this for decades. But we need to be careful of having that way of thinking. Many have walked away from God's truth. And after a few years, they've forgotten almost everything. I don't know if you've ever come across somebody like that before. I have. Where you just casually happen to meet up with them. Maybe it's at a funeral that you both knew somebody that passed away, or whatever the circumstances, you come across them and you start talking to them, and they make some comment like, "Oh yeah, what's it coming up here in the fall?" They can't even hardly remember the name of it, let alone the meaning of it. If we don't keep putting it in our minds and refreshing our minds about it year in and year out, it will fade from us. And beyond it just fading from us, every time you study God's word, it allows a deeper understanding of whatever you're studying to enter your mind. We need to keep God's truth in our mind and in our heart. What God has given us is precious, and we need to make sure we keep it in our mind and in our heart. Psalm chapter 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." You see, if we don't have God's word stored up in our heart, it will lead to sin. It will lead to us eventually walking away from God and forsaking him. It says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." God's word must be stored in our heart. And there's only one way to get it there. And that is to study his truth. To study his law. And study about the fall holy days that are coming up. Turn me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 18 and 19. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. God tells us that we're to do this. We're to take his law, his words, his truth, and lay them up in our mind and in our heart. And bind them as a sign on your hand, that they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Do you get the picture that the emphasis is for us to live with this every moment of our life, of every day? It needs to be in our heart, deep within our heart. Verse 19, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It doesn't leave too many options in our life to where these words aren't to be applied and aren't to be discussed. And the third point of why studying about the fall holy days is so important is it will keep us from being spiritually destroyed. It will keep us from being spiritually destroyed. I know that's a strong statement, but it's not my comment. It's not my words. Turn with me, if you would, to Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hosea chapter 4, we'll read verse 1 and also verse 6. Hosea 4 verse 1 says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. And notice what this charge is. It says, there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. There is none. There is no truth, mercy, or knowledge of God in the land. Jump down to verse 6. Since there is no knowledge, no understanding, no law of God in their mind and in their heart, what's it say in verse 6? My people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of God, I also will forget your children. It's a powerful statement from God. But it goes right along with that concept that we just read about in Deuteronomy of having God's law, his truth, in our heart every day. It's got to be deep in our minds. We've got to stay focused around what God is bringing us to. And right now, he's bringing us towards the fall holy day season. And we need to be careful in thinking, well, I haven't rejected the knowledge of God. We should also ask ourselves, am I binding these words in my heart and soul daily? Because that's what God tells us to do. See, when you become confident or self-assured of where you stand in the knowledge of God, again, you have a tendency to let down, to not put as much emphasis on it as you should. When we study God's word, it places his word in our mind. And it's there in our heart. It's not just a one-time study event. It's not going to do as much good to go home this week and study all about all of the four holy days that are coming up and then just drop it and let it go. I would encourage you to study it as much as you can every day between now and the feast, being ready for it as it comes. That way God's word about the fall holy days will be deep in your mind and you'll have a deep understanding about it. We need God's word in our mind every day. Studying about the coming holy days will be a major part and being mentally prepared to gain as much as possible from the coming fall holy day season. If we don't prepare mentally, we will only partially benefit from these fall holy days. And that's not what God intends. He establishes the fall holy days for us to be blessed spiritually in a wonderful and a great way. But it requires us to put effort into it. And it's more than just having a good time and celebrating at the feast. That's a part of it. God wants us to have a good time. He wants us to rejoice at the feast. But most importantly, he wants you to be moved inside about your relationship with him and the meaning of the fall holy days. The second point for the sermon today in preparing for the fall holy day season is talk to God, talk to your family, and to your brethren. Talk to God, talk to your family, and to your brethren. First of all, make the coming holy days a part of your regular prayer life. After studying it and putting it in your mind, go to God in prayer. Talk to him about his plan. Talk to him about what he is doing for you and with you in your life, his work in your life. God wants us to be excited for these coming days. He wants us to be charged up. In the church, we've kind of developed a term called feast fever, where you get really excited and emotionally ready and spiritually ready and physically ready for the coming Feast of Tabernacles. We need to be that way. And if we pour ourselves into it and prepare for it, we'll be ready. We'll have that feast fever when we get ready to leave. God wants to share in our excitement. It doesn't do us much good if we're physically all excited about having this nice trip that we've got planned, but we leave him on the sidelines. Don't leave him on the sidelines. Involve him in your prayers every day. Talk to him about your plans. Talk to him about his plan for the future. Discuss with him about Jesus Christ's return. Talk to him about how much you need it in your life, how much this world needs it, how much all of his creation needs it. You know, and when you study the scriptures about the millennium, it's just not people that are changed. The entire earth is going to go through a change when Jesus Christ returns. Talk to God about that. Talk to him about what the millennium is going to be like. Have that picture developed in your mind through your studies and how wonderful life's going to be. Talk to him about the meaning of the eighth day and that second resurrection. When people that did not know and have a relationship with God are brought up and resurrected and for the first time ever in their life getting to know the one and true God. Talk to God about that. Let's consider David's approach. If you would, turn to Psalm 119, verse 12. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 12. This is a prayer from David to God. Think about what, as we read these verses, what he's talking to God about. Blessed are you, O Lord, verse 12 of Psalm 119. Teach me your statutes. Go to God and ask God to open his truth up to you in a deeper way. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. He says that he appreciates the value of what he's been given, which is God's law, above all riches, above all wealth. I will meditate on your precepts. Do that as we approach the fall holy day season. Meditate on God's law and contemplate your ways. That's like talking to God and telling God you're going to meditate and think about his plan His way, what He is planning and preparing for all of this world. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Why is he so sure that he won't forget God's word? Because he poured himself into studying it on a daily basis. David truly had it in his mind and in his heart and in his soul. Verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. See, he's praying and asking God for a deeper understanding than what he had already about God's truth and his law. If you look back over those five or six verses, you see adjectives like teach me, my lips, rejoice, meditate, contemplate, delight, wondrous things. Those are the things that come from David. He asked God to teach him. That should be our focus in the coming weeks. Ask God to teach us in prayer. Go to him and ask God to open his truth to you in a way that it hasn't been opened in the past. To a new level, a deeper level. The world sees these days that we observe as the fall holy days as burdensome, something to be forgotten. They view them as a hassle. How do we see them? Hopefully we see them as a treasure. David certainly did. He treasured the law of God. David didn't have the entire book of the Bible that we're blessed with. Really, all he had was God's law. That's all he had, and he focused on it deeply, and he applied it in so many different aspects of his life. And just from having the law, David completely understood the entire plan of God. At least to the extent that we do. But the world sees these days as a waste of time, that they have no value. We can't have that same opinion. We need to see that it's a treasure, that it's priceless, that it's so important. And we need to be preparing for it now. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 13. Deuteronomy 16. Another very familiar set of verses. Because Deuteronomy 16:16, as we know, talks about the need to come before God and be prepared to do it, to come prepared to give an offering. That's not what I want to focus on right now. I want to begin in verse 13 of Deuteronomy 16. Because there's a message here for God's people. And it's in reference to the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 13, you shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. And when you have gathered from the threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your sons and your daughters, your male servant, your female servant, the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, who are within your gates. So that includes everybody. God wants us to rejoice with our families, to talk about this time, to share in this time. Verse 15, 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you and all of your produce and all the work of your hands so that you will surely rejoice. 3 times a year, we won't go into verse 16. But clearly God wants us to celebrate this coming time with our families and with our brethren. He tells us to rejoice in our feast. It's a time for us to go to God and discuss these days with Him and to express our greatest desire for their fulfillment. We need to see the importance and the need for these days being fulfilled. You know, I talked earlier about the hurricane that's just entered Texas down there and all the destruction that's going to go with that. And probably, even though I haven't heard it yet, probably some deaths. Those things won't take place when God's kingdom comes to this earth. It won't take place in the millennium. That kind of destruction will be done. It will be over. When we think about the suffering that people will go through because of that, and the multitude of other reasons for the suffering in this world, we should be moved in giving thanks to God for his plan. That there is a hope of a day when all of that will be gone. The fall holy days are given to us with a powerful meaning about a complete change in this world. Talk to God about the need for his son's return. We need to feel that urgency in our life because we're here in this world now where all the suffering's taking place. We should be motivated and moved to go to God in prayer and ask him for help, to ask him for relief. Nothing is more exciting and motivating than discussing the meaning of these coming days with our brethren and with our families. I know when our kids were younger, we would always put together a calendar for them so they could, their anticipation of the coming feast would grow each day as we got closer to it, and we'd cross off a day. And that helps put God's law in their mind and in their heart, a love for God's law and the plan that he has for all of us. Not only is the fall are the fall holy days exciting and fun and a time for rejoicing, but is actually a command of God upon each of us to pass the beautiful truth that God has given us on to the next generation. It's a command from God. Let's look at that in Psalms chapter 78, verses 1 through 7. We saw it earlier, I believe it was in Deuteronomy. I'm going to look at it in Psalm 78. I want to read to you from the New Living Translation. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 1. It says, "O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known. Stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will not tell. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his law to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, that they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." You see, when we pass God's truth, his precious truth, on to the next generation, it's a responsibility that we do that. It's so important to God that we do that. As parents, we need to help do everything we can to make this coming fall holy day season an absolute delight to our children. And I know some of us, our children are grown. We don't have kids around the house anymore. Maybe we have some grandkids that we can talk to. But I would even encourage our seniors to interact with our youth here at church. When you have time and the opportunity presents itself, talk to the youth. Share your experiences of your calling with the youth. I know in the past when I've sat down and listened to other people's callings and to hear their stories, it's very inspiring. It's really enjoyable to hear the calling of someone else. Talk to them about some of your feast experiences. I know my father-in-law used to tell me when I was much younger about some of his feast experiences when they used to be over in the Poconos, and it was so crowded, tens of thousands of people there. And they were down at Jekyll Island in a tent, and you hear about the flooded waters coming in to the tent and the ladies having to pick up their babies off the floor. Share those stories. Share your experiences with the youth in the church. That helps pass that on to the next generation, and it's so important. It's upon us all to take the effort to do that. It really comes down to being everyone's responsibility. Brethren, now is the time to prepare for the fall holy days. I could have put together a whole big long list, including preparing for your offering and doing this and doing that, But I really don't think that's necessary. I think if we turn to God's word in the coming weeks and we study it and we think about it and we meditate on it and we get into the details about each and every day that's coming up, the four holy days, and if we go before God in prayer and we talk to him about his plan and we share our desire for the fulfillment of his plan, I think everything else will take care of itself. Everything will fall in order. We'll be ready to go when it's time to leave for the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll be fully prepared. God is a God who is prepared. As I showed you at the beginning of the sermon, he's going before us this very moment, preparing for the fall holy days so that you can gain as much from it as you can. But it's just not on God for us to gain as much as we can. He works with us. It's up to us to put forth the effort, to dive into God's word, to make it important in our life, to make it the top priority at this point with a few weeks out from the Feast of Tabernacles. So I hope that your preparations for the Fall Holy Days goes well. I hope that you have a very meaningful Fall Holy Days that are coming up. And please, I would encourage you to put God first and to put all things that are godly first in your life.